There's always pros and cons, but mostly pros to going last. And one of them is a lot of the information for my presentation has been presented, so I can try to catch us up and leave time for questions. Another advantage of just being on a panel at any conference is to be able to meet these rock star researchers that I have been so pleased to be with this morning. This is a really great session. So I am going to talk about men's health in a sort of a smaller scale. And I want to talk about the photo voice process a little bit too. I don't have any disclosures as far as APHA is considered, but I will disclose the fact that for two decades I've been working in women's health. And I am sort of a second wave feminist. And a couple of years ago, I was working with, and it's always been with sexual health and HIV prevention, and I also do a lot of work with young men who have sex with men, but I was working with a group of young women on campus, heterosexual women, about sexual health and safer sex responsibility and condom use, and at one point, they just looked at me and they said, well, what do men think about all of this? And I was like, don't! Right, that's right. Okay, then I'll do that. I'm going to go find that. I'm going to answer that question for you. So I'm going to talk about this project I had a lot of fun with, and we're still working with it as we go, as we try to figure out what to do with it. Some of these things are going to be very, very common knowledge for you. So among young people, specifically college-age people, HIV and STIs, the rates are high and going higher. Just again, for 20 years, we have not been able to do anything about that. 56% of college-age students report consistent condom use. That's about half. While 36% have never used condoms. College-aged males perceive themselves less at risk of HIV and STIs than females, and females don't consider themselves that much at risk either. So it's very low for young men. 24% of male respondents in a study that I did would have sex without a condom with a partner who did not want to use a condom. Women are less likely to do that, but men are pretty much like, if it doesn't come up, I'm not gonna bring it up. And when I started to think about this, I found there really is not a lot of literature out there about men and their relationship understandings of power and safer sex. There's definitely more in the past couple of years. And I meant to put a shout out to the Men's Caucus because, like I said, 1994 was my first APHA meeting. I made a point to go to all the Women's Health Caucus sessions because they were really cool. And now I'm just really glad that there is this caucus because obviously there's a need for it. Again, a little background, this is just looking at males and females, again, comparing their reasons for non-use. And the highest category is that there's a use of alternative birth control methods being used within the relationship. I'm just going to point that out and leave that there hanging in the air until I get to a result later on. So what we decided to do, and this was the second phase of another research project I had started with young women, using the method photo voice, which I'll describe in a second, to look at the social and environmental messages that young men receive about safer sex responsibility. Years and years and years of working with women and safer sex, you know, how many behavioral change interventions can we possibly do? How many times can we use the health belief model and still things are not really changing? And there's lots of reasons why. I mean, a relationship is with two people, so you can increase someone's self-efficacy to use condoms, but if her partner is not going to do that, then it's not going to work. And so, again, we understand that. And then the other second aim was to explore how these messages play out in their relationships and sexual behavior. And then try to at least think about how to better develop intervention programs to increase condom use and raise HIV testing rates. I read that as HIV rates. This is my presentation, but I totally just read that wrong. So we did use the method of photo voice. We recruited, and I can't wait till the end of the session to find out how all of my colleagues recruited so many men to their studies. We had a really hard time recruiting the men into the study. We had to actually give them a $50 incentive. The women, we had done the women's photo voice part, they got a $25 incentive. We could not recruit men for $25. These are college students. So we had to up it to 50, and we had to find one of my grad students who had been on the football team, basically went on around campus and started kind of strong-arming guys into the study. But it worked. So that's all that we need to know. So let me describe a little bit about the photo voice process if you don't know that. It's a qualitative method. It aims to really uncover root causes of issues going on. It works really well with communities that have not usually had a voice before. To be fair, I wasn't using this because I think college men don't have a voice, because obviously there's a lot of privilege with men who are attending university. But with this topic, what happened was we really learned that there were things they had never thought about before that were uncovered. So we had a total of 5 meetings over the course of actually 5 weeks. It was a meeting a week. And the first meeting, so let me show you my adorable schemata that I have on the photo voice process. So you first have a first meeting, you brainstorm and explain the research. And then at the end of that meeting, you kind of, the group decides, it's a participatory research process where the research, the people in your group are your co-researchers. They come up with the questions for the first photo voice kind of session. We had three different question sessions. Then the last met, and they come back, talk about the pictures, find out root causes, and then come up with the next question and go back and then summarize in the end. So let me just sneak back up to this previous slide. The three questions that they had come up with to take pictures of were: one, what roles do men and women play in relationships? Two, how do men prepare for safer sex? And three, what keeps men motivated to use protection? And then the last group meeting, we come back together to discuss all the pictures and what we want to do with that after all. So what I want to do is kind of present the themes that we found across these groups of discussions. In the end, we had seven men, and actually I thought that was pretty good. Three were African American and four were white. And I have to say, and I'll probably say this again in the end, they had to meet 5 weeks in a row. They only got $50. I know that's, you know, a lot for a college student, but I don't know what kept, I never knew what kept bringing them back until the last night that we met, and it came up that they were going to miss their weekly sex meetings. And I thought, that's what's bringing you back, having these conversations. They had so much fun. And I will also say, I have to say this too, the very first meeting, I felt very uncomfortable, or, you know, as someone who works in health disparities and health equity, being a white female, being an older female, and my grad assistant was female. So I presented to the group the research, what we wanted to do, and I said to them, I really need you to feel comfortable talking about issues around sex and condom use and you know, this kind of thing. So I'm going to let you decide if you're okay with us being the facilitators or if you'd like me to get a man to facilitate, because I can do that. And we're going to leave the room, I'm going to have you vote, and you can come out and let us know. So they looked at me like I was insane. We walked out of the room, and a second later, and I left them pieces of paper to write down. They all came running out. They're like, we want you to run the groups. Okay, so we did that. So I don't know what that any of that means, but I want to just make sure you know that I didn't assume, you know, you always have to kind of wonder what they're saying, you know, how honest they are. But because I was with them for 5 weeks, we got to know each other really well. So the themes that came out in the photo voice analysis, and the way you analyze photo voice is similar to any other qualitative focus group method. And there were two of us, we coded all the data together using hyper research and came up with these themes. And the really great part is you have the words from the focus group discussions, but you also have the pictures to highlight what's come up. So what we learned was that, according to the men in our study, that society sends a message that women are responsible for safer sex. Men feel that they share the responsibility, but they're not taking initiative about that responsibility. For them, pregnancy prevention is still the highest priority. Brands and placement of condoms on campus and in general are very important to them, I learned. And they really don't have an identification of a risk for HIV. So let me illustrate some of that with some of their pictures. A first theme about society sending a message. They felt that media and social norms are that condoms are a woman's responsibility. So the italics are quotes from men of them in the group. So society, I don't know if consciously or subconsciously, is trying to say to women to just be prepared with the condom, even if the guy does or doesn't have one, because the women have more to lose than the men, because even though they're on the same level for STD risk, the women are more at risk because the whole pregnancy thing. So even though this is the first picture, this is one of my favorite pictures. And quite frankly, the almost exact same picture came out in the women's group as well. So this is, I think, a Walgreens or a CVS. And the quote is, I thought it was weird that a supermarket is sending the message that it's a woman's responsibility. I don't want to be that guy walking in the feminine care aisle. So, you know, those of us who don't use any of these products forgot where they're placed. And we had a conversation about why aren't they with razors or... I don't know, some states, Connecticut doesn't sell guns, but I don't know, the guns, or I don't know, somewhere. That maybe a man, I'm sorry, a man might, oh God, see, I'm still part of the Women's Health Caucus, aren't I? Sorry about that. I don't know, somewhere else where men would find condoms, because they don't always buy ovulation kits, and quite frankly, right, or female, you know, lubricants. So that's an issue, and I just thought that was great. And so then they found some messages, too. So here's an ad with a woman holding the condom. When I was looking online for advertisements or images or whatever, I found that the majority of them were to be women in the ads compared to men. And then the next question is, who takes responsibility for safer sex? They told me that men, them, themselves, and their friends always have condoms with them. But they have mixed feelings about women carrying them. Some thought it was great. Some did not think it was great. they say women take responsibility for birth control. They don't even really think about that. They think they just sort of leave that up to their female partners. And men are willing to wear condoms if they're asked. This point was really, really driven home to me over and over again. So here's a little conversation between two men. This is in my girlfriend's wallet. And then another student, not me, how do you feel about her having a condom in her purse? I'm for it. And then he said, I don't think I would be for that. That's my thing, because I wouldn't want my girlfriend to have condoms in her purse, and then I don't know how many she has, so shit, she might be using them with someone else. And so it was really sort of split. And again, this is just a qualitative one group of men. But so they were very proud to show me that they had condoms in their wallets. And, you know, my health educator had to come on, don't leave them in there too long, and look at the expiration date. I know. This one is one of my favorites. This condom package is taped behind his dorm room bed. And he goes, right there. This is behind my bed. I have it taped. I don't know if she's going to be responsible, but I'm not trying to have any kids. I have plans, you know, for myself. So he hides it there, too, because his mom comes and visits. And she doesn't want her to see his condom behind the head of his bed. Motivators for using condoms. This was overwhelmingly the theme of they do not want to have babies. They claim a lot of it is just because of what they want to do. The media focuses more on pregnancy prevention, reality shows like 16 and Pregnant. And then this was interesting. STDs can be treatable. STDs can be taken care of. But if you get a kid, I mean, that's a game changer. It requires more of a life change. Yeah, it's a very big life change, especially for a college kid. So they were really, you know, sort of focused on this. And kids aren't treatable. In health class, they don't downplay it. They told us how bad it is, but it's almost like they're treatable. A kid's not treatable. And then the last statement, though, is what really got me. Right, you can't hide a child. So I thought, are you hiding STDs? Yeah, yes, they are. So the big theme, again, was they want to wait till marriage to have kids. I'm not going to read all the quotes in the interest of time, but to one of the things that they really want to wait to be married, to have kids. They want to be responsible. They talked about their parents a lot in this case. They had a fear of it. These are pictures that they brought into the groups. This is not, even though that's something you found on the internet, these are pictures that they brought into the groups to express the fear of STDs. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of lack of knowledge, and there's not a lot of testing. This was a picture they took at a club one night in New Haven. They want to continue to party. They don't want to be burdened with a kid. Again, it wasn't really about STDs. This, again, was really interesting. I don't really know where to go with this, except on college campuses, we give a lot of free condoms. Unfortunately, they're never Trojans, and apparently that's the brand to use. And for a lot of reasons, mainly that they're the most advertised. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I am flying through this so we can get through. So they don't feel as much at risk as they do for STIs, and they never talk about getting tested, and this goes back to your research. They will get tested if a partner asks them. They will get tested if the provider asks them. I got a lot of talk about these. A couple of them were athletes, and if they got hurt on the field and they went to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, on campus will ask anybody if they want an HIV test. Oh, sure, and there's no issue with that, but they're not going to go out of their way to get tested. So before conclusions, I forgot the limitation slide. I did my PhD a long time ago, and I mostly do teaching. I'm not saying I'm not a good researcher, but to be fair, you sort of think people understand. I'm sorry. So limitations, yeah. It was a qualitative study. It was a small group of young men on our college campus, but it really, for me, was a way to explore that question of what do men think? What do men think who's responsible? You know, why? Whose responsibility is it? And they had such a great time, but I really found out some things I think need to be pursued, and one is that pregnancy prevention, and that was the same with women too, but prioritizing pregnancy prevention over STD prevention was a little alarming for me, because 20 years ago that was the situation, and that has not changed yet. You know, I still think that's the message that's out there stronger. So they feel like society is sending the message that women are responsible for safer sex. We might need to think about changing that. Men's responsibility seems to be non-existent in the media, and including men in research is just completely important and invaluable. So because it's a CVPR research method, we are, the next stage is doing something on campus. I mean, the end of a photo voice project is about taking some kind of action. So they really want to do a photo exhibit with their photos with the title Safer Sex is Everyone's Responsibility. I would like to do more research with young men to explore these issues of, you know, reaching out to get tested, understanding about shared condom use, and quite honestly, and there's a lot of interventions out there with, you know, heterosexual couples, but that's the next step, I think, for me. So I want to just thank our participants who had a lot of fun doing this, and also a grant from the Connecticut State University Research Committee. So thank you.